Blog Talk Radio.
Those loved ones that stood strong for this country. I'm praying for
you and you as being in the God of Abraham bring you to the next level. And I want you to know, lies from men and women inside of Vietnam and Korea, whether I have to save life. I'm praying for those families right now. I just want to pray. Father God, we come to this hour. Bless those soldiers, those that went on. Bless those that come back by a whole other country. Father God, we ask you to bless you and deliver right now. God, we will hand it out to you. Father God, I'm looking for you to answer right now to lift us out of what we need. Bless every family, those that lost loved ones, those that all caught us. Father God, God, I bring your hands out to you. We ask you, bless us, sanctify us, that we might be able to help those that are sick, our sisters, our brothers. We rebuke the curse. We ask for the healing of the Almighty God. Touch body, mind, soul, and spirit. God, we know that you're able to touch man and woman. God, we know that you're able to lift them up. I'm set to you. I want you to get ready for God to do something special in this year, for this month. Even though the clothes will be open, and even though that you seem like you can't make it, God, in that door, I plan for you to go to jail down in Atlanta, Georgia. I plan for some of you to feel like you can't make it. The soldier, God got you as a soldier of healing and deliverance. And the wives of the soldier, your husband, your family, said, my dad, the soldier, sometimes our ancestors had to fight for you at night. I want you to stay in prayer. I want you to know God is a shield. And God, I'm praying for that family right now. Call me. There's so much going on all over the world. People turn away from God. Put my best weapon in the world. I call the Lord. I want you to do that tonight. God, to heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. It's not only take my time to let you know, a soldier, a good soldier, you always win. You got to understand, you're a soldier, God. You got to understand, God will take you to the next level. Whatever you need, God got what you need, God got what you want. I'm praying for you, Mother Moon, Bright Star, I'm praying for you. I want you to know God is able to bring you out of what you need. I'm praying for success. And what I mean is success, success of healing, success of the mind. When the curse of the evil and the sickness of the virus, in the name of the Almighty God, I ask for it to be moved. I plead the blood of the Almighty God. I plead the power of the Holy Ghost right now. Right now. Do something special to you right now that listening. Whatever you need, God can. Father God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of the Holy Universe, God, we come right now. This office. Put somebody sick. Somebody have no words to say. Somebody right now have no food on their table. Somebody right now is sick in the hospital. I will beat them out. I plead the blood of Jesus. Move that violence. Move that sickness. Move that alcohol condition from their mind. Bless that family that lost everything. God, you said, if I and I be broken, if I done, God, we ask you right now to lift us to another level. God, we ask you right now to touch every boy, every girl, every man, every woman right now. Somebody's sister is sick, somebody's brother is sick, somebody's family. God, I ask the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, for your healing spirit to move the curse of sickness and lack in acts. I want to read this. In acts, I want to read this. And maybe it might touch you. It might help you. Sometimes you need to know some things, know some things to work for you. But time you need to say something, sometimes you want to, you need to say something, sometimes you want to be. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. God bought special miracles by the hand of Paul. They brought hatred and hatred, and the sickness and disease, the evil disease, departed from them. I'm praying tonight for your miracle. I'm praying tonight for your breakthrough. I'm praying tonight for that door to open up for you. I'm praying tonight that evil disease has got you caught up for all of them departing your mind. They fought for this country, they didn't make it back. And this country is supposed to be a better country, a better man, a better woman. All this murder and killing got to go. We have people that died in Vietnam and Korea. We have people that died for the children to go to school and college. We have people that died to be blessed. We have to God to touch, heal, and deliver right now.
Unto death. God, I will give you a crown of life. He did not say, you understand, be thou faithful until death. And I don't know the reason why, but for some reason we falsely use that verse. And for some reason we somehow misquote that valuable verse in our Bible. My God, because it does not say, be thou faithful until death. My God, but rather it says, be thou faithful unto death. And there is a difference in the word until and the word unto. Oh, Lord. And that word until means to the point. But the word unto means beyond the point. Oh, Lord. And until means it's limited. But unto means it's beyond all bounds and beyond all limits. Oh, Lord. And if I think about this church, and how about the Franklin Baptist Church from a mighty long way? Oh, Lord. Yeah, evidence shows that there were too many until members instead of unto members. Oh, Lord. And Reverend Franklin, I'm with you until I disagree with you. Oh, Lord. And Dr. Franklin, I'm with you until you hurt my feelings. Oh, Lord. And I'm with you until you don't call my name. And that's why I'm glad the writer did not say, be faithful until. But then I hear him saying, be faithful unto them. Oh, Lord. And the road may be rough. The going may be tough. But I hear him saying, don't be faithful until bad things happen, but be faithful unto them. Yeah, that means don't be faithful until death comes. But then, so it may cause my death. Well, I must be faithful. Oh, yeah. So I hear him saying, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee then a crown of life. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to close there, and I tell you just one more thing. Well, it is said that back during the days of the Civil War, when the North and the South were at war, one with another. And you know how our forefathers yearned and burned and prayed to be free. And after a while, many of them learned that the Union Army was on their way. And the old man that was on his plantation that was black born in slavery, when he heard the Union Army was coming, he got his stick and got him some rock and started down to the battlefield. Oh, yeah. And somebody said, John, where are you going with stones and sticks? I heard him sing, I'm going down to the battlefield and help the Union Army win this battle. But then, some way and somehow, yeah, John was shot down on that battlefield. And one of his friends walked up to him and held him in his arms. And I heard him sing, if my relatives ask you how I died, and if my friends should ask you how I died, well, tell them I died on the field. Oh, yeah. You see, God does not want us to rust out, but God wants us to wear out. Oh, yeah. Dr. Franklin, you know, was still on the field. Yeah. I'm going to let you know here now, but I hear somebody saying, well, doctor, you told us about a good soldier. I heard you say that a good soldier obeys orders. I heard you say that a good soldier learned how to put on his uniform and how to use his weapon. I heard you say that a good soldier is self-sacrificing. But doctor, is there anything else you got to say about a good soldier? Oh, Lord, I'm only going to tell you, yes, just one more thing I got to tell you. Did you hear what I'm saying? Just one more thing I got to tell you. Yeah, a good soldier stays on the field until he receives orders to come on home. Did you hear what I'm saying? He may be wounded on the battlefield. Before he's wounded, he's got to stay there. Got wounded on the battlefield. Went back home to get his clothes to be there on this battlefield that next Sunday morning. Shot down and wounded on the battlefield. But stayed right there. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He stayed there. Yeah. Oh, come on, come on.
Tonight and thank God for where you're at. You may not be where you want to, but you ain't where you used to be. And I want you to thank God, take time out and thank God where you're at and thank God what he's been doing for you. That's the good thing. When you thank God for what he's doing for you, he's going to do it for you. And God's going to do something for you. As I go into the Word of God, and I want to deal with some special with Dr. Henry Clark, the great researcher.
See his place in nature. And how does he see God? How does he express his concept of God in everyday life? The African soul himself, relationship, nature. He saw nature and God one and the same. We must remember that for most of the existence of man, the word God was not used. And yet, man had a great spirituality and a great affinity for the concept that man was later called God. Africans recognized that there was a spiritual force in the universe. He knew could not make the rain change the seasons. He could not make a hurricane. He could not stop one. So he recognized that this force in the world was in charge, was a force bigger than himself. And he tried to bring man in harmony with nature, as against Western man, often tries to define nature. But he did not use the word God, yet he recognized the spiritual force in the world that man would later call God.
Dr. Clark, I've often heard this word God is used in English language. Is actually the word God spelled backwards?
Yes, and man was saying and using it, and whether this is coincidental,
I do not know, but it is somewhat ironic if that is the case, because God concept that we know
came out of Pompas in Nicaea in Europe, 325 AD. But the spiritual concept is always there, recognized by the African spiritual force that ruled the universe was in everything that lives. Therefore, the African would meditate sometime before cutting down a tree, because a tree was a part of life. He'd only cut down what he needed, and he thought that the spiritual force of the universe was in the water, so he could stand by the water and meditate or pray on the tree. And he could stand by the tree in himself, so he could meditate within himself. And so he did not need a church as such, and he did not need someone to intervene between himself and the spiritual force of the universe, because he thought that he was a part totality and he could communicate directly. Now, Dr. Clark, what is the difference between religion and spirituality? Religion is an artificial bomb that came later. Man organized spirituality into form, denomination, into concepts. And each group tried to prove their concept was the true concept and the one most entitled to prevail. Now you see hypocrisy entering spirituality, killing its meaning, is the recognition of the spiritual force of the universe and the recognition of your relationship toward all living things and your responsibility toward all living things. I have examined a lot of African indigenous belief systems, and most of them are based on African spirituality as against the religion. Spirituality, you do not discriminate. Your wife can belong to one version, now you can belong to another. There's no conflict between you based on that. And this was carried on into the United States, because within my own family, I got everything except the Catholic. I might have them now when I did have them in my growing up days, but we had Methodists and Holy Rollers and Sanctified People, although we were predominantly Baptists. We were predominantly Baptists. Our best religious jokes were about the Methodists, because they got sprinkled instead of being immersed in the water. See, with the coming of religion and denominations and churches and ministers, economics and commerce, and you got to have someone to build the church. The church had to be maintained. Have a preacher, he had to be maintained. So once commerce and the Bible and the religion became a money-making entity with all of its just holiness, it could not sustain itself without funds. It became a fundraising gimmick. And I say they're going away from spirituality, which is the recognition of all living things and their worth. When in religion, you give preference to your chosen denomination. And people who adhere to your chosen denomination. Religion has senses of the religious somehow. In fact, nearly all religions are violation of the God concept by dictionary definition. Because if you take dictionary definition off, God is kind, God is gracious, God is not violent, which is just the opposite of religions. A Catholic will not concede that a Protestant is right. A Catholic, right? That's ungodly. So, God's nature of relationship, of God's nature of relationship. The part of nature of relationship. And
based on respect and bringing families together and sometimes bringing villages together. So when two people married, they had a whole lot of cows and goats and came because they beat each other put together enough meat so that they could sustain themselves and make sure they had land. And they didn't have to petition. They didn't have to go into debt. They didn't have to take out any loans. But you belonged to that particular group, and you was expected. About what you were bringing the children into being, about much of your behavior to enhance that group. And that group, by what you belong to it, protects you, but makes sure that you had the means of sustaining family. If you didn't have enough goats, they would go to one family, you give them the goat, you know, until you had 10 goats. You know?
Thank you.
How was this incorporated into Christianity? Or was any of these principles incorporated into Christianity? And can they be in any way identifiable or manifested?
And see, they were, what was covered into Christianity idealistically and verbally was the African family's instruction of doing to each one as doing unto others as you have them to do unto to you. Basic protection. When St. Augustine talked about comfort and not fear, he said, these people make me laugh. They're giving us a religion we had 3,000 years ago. So now let's deal with that, and let's deal with formalization behind a person out of Jesus Christ.
Now, St. Augustine was school for many people.
St. Augustine was the father of Catholic literature, and he was instrumental in creating the intellectual literature, the basic theories that went into the making of the Catholic Church.
Where was he indigenous?
Indigenous to North Africa.
Was he not
Arab? No one has proved anything any different. I call St. Augustine the holy sinner because in his early life he related so much. He took up residence in a house of prostitution, lived there, allowed a child. And like most men who tend to spot up hypocrisy, after they begin to blame a lot of the sins of the world on women. He's about exhausted by that. But he did. But I think his confession is in his other books laid the basis for intelligence, just literature, and the beautiful simplicity of his writing, not to be repeated, and his theory and his writing. There's a lot of great writers, whose writing is complicated to read, and not for a layman. You know, I've tried to read St. Thomas Aquinas. Martin Luther was a little less confusing, but confusing enough.
It had been they weren't clear themselves about what Christianity was.
Yeah, exactly. I think the simplicity in the writings, St. Augustine, you know, he was.
Thank you.
to the writing about him. Of course, 80 years after his death, and that he began to run as Jesus the Christ, the very word Christ is not from Africa, it's from Krishna. It's more of India.
South Carolina, who never used the word Jew, who still belong to the Hebrew faith, and whose conversion to the Hebrew faith is older than that of Europe. Hebrews were converted to East Central, age 50 and above.
Well, they felt that the Romans really had no right to rule over them, not only because they were invaders, but their law said, their Torah said, that only God, who created the ruler, the disorder, their king that came out from their midst.
But the Romans were no respecter of local customs or local laws. And even with the trial of Jesus Christ, or sorcery. The Romans did not want part of it, but because the Roman law, crime of sorcery was major and therefore had to be taken to the Roman government. Minor crimes, they could try themselves. So when they took him before the Roman, the Roman young realized he was no enemy of the Roman. Wasn't telling Romans to give their money to the poor or to the other team. He wasn't driving Romans from the temple, driving his own people. So the Romans had no vested interest in interfering with all this internal matter between the people they had colonized. So he pushed them back to the first and he's your king. They pushed them back to the Romans. Now, my kids, so we see the essential beauty and loneliness of the story. And the man who eventually emerges, Jesus Christ, was one of a number of itinerant ministers roaming through the land at that time and who had the smallest amount of followers. Why did he survive? The others got lost. His people were. And what they are now, great record keepers and evangelizers, and they are also the necessary great record changers, and maybe some of the greatest liars under the eye of God.
Now, the first Christians we know were Africans, and the original church was the first developed and strongest in Africa.
But the African Christians developed before the church developed as a physical body. I agree with what you're saying, but I'm saying that that was not the birth of Christianity. So the African concept of Christianity developed before the church. The church in a physical sense begins to develop when the Romans decided they could use it and therefore encourage it. After the Romans stopped killing Christians and began to join the church for political reasons.
Not as well, not as the joining continued the expense.
And this was Constantine made the Christian religion of the Eastern Roman Church. Subsequently, the others didn't hurt the fact that many Roman emperors entertaining themselves on Saturday by night, seeing the Christians kill the lions and gladiators. Finally, one Roman looked down on the arena and saw his uncle, so he didn't stop the show. He said, "Oh, you know, we'll then next Saturday, he looked down at his wife and John, who lived to die. Stop the show.
Well, Constantine's own mother, Helena, had been converted to Christianity.
Well, making that decision also is a little known because of essence. And the essence were, in addition to being moralists, were vegetarians that day. And they approached him by fornicating on Paris. You couldn't stop that. Told him he had to stop eating red meat. And he told him he couldn't go there, which he really didn't. So they left him alone. So, all right. He stopped. Fornication. We'll leave
John's acts of sinning.
One of God's angry men.
Yeah, a fine memory of almost everything that ever touched his life. Had a disappointed man. But he was my friend. More than 50 years. I learned so much from him. I ought to have never got to meet him in person, but from his writings. And his writings would prick me, so I would sometimes have to go for weeks just wrestling with the point. I first read Man, God, and Civilization. I had to wrestle with it. It opened up a whole new area.
Some minutes. A way of dominating the mind and controlling the body.
Dr. Clark, we thank you for this opportunity. This has been a wonderful and effective session. And in closing out, I'd like to, for you to just sum up your own thoughts, feelings, and words. The subject matter we have been discussing here, share with us that which I think will help take us to the next stage of understanding.
To a discussion of religions in general, Christianity in particular, gets us into the question is, what do we use for our own liberation and the maintenance of liberation once we achieve it? What is good for us is what brings us to that point of liberation, independence, and maintenance. When I say independence, I don't mean independence to morality. I mean to be free of exploitation, to be free of being demeaned, and to have the right to project yourself as a part of the totality of history. We have to restore the humane apparatus to religion that has been extracted by explorers who use religion the wrong way. I think we must use religion to give the world a new humanity. But we have lost the meaning unless we understand that we must first give it to ourselves. Because you cannot change the world until first you change yourself. I think all religion is good depending on its application. And all would have the potential to be bad depending on its poor application. I think all of us should have the integrity to make that distinction by it. For the good of ourselves and for all humankind, but by giving each one the right to choose that particular case without demeaning that the interpretation that suit other cases for other people. I have long ago left the adherence to any form of organized religion. I belong to the belief system, and I am comfortable spiritually with that belief system that furnishes me the integrity, spirituality, the support I think I need in my life. And because this is a humane belief system, I'm not ready to deprive others of having an opinion different from me, but I'm also having the nerve to let others know that when anybody feels certain the basic human needs of people and the basic protection of people is open enough to question, not above asking that kind of question.
In other words, you see the bringing the ground up. Actually,
yeah.